Pickaxe.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hello and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we try and solve your complications. I'm Revs and I'm joined by the lovely Harry and Litz. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
We're going to do a sneaky hangover check.
I'm fresh as a bloody daisy.
I'm feeling great. How are you doing, Revs?
This is a Wednesday and I go out on a Tuesday. Okay, that's my day out. And I was out last night and I'm in pain.
What time do you stay out till?
Oh, like only like 11-ish or something, maybe 12.
I thought I had a certain huskiness to your voice, which is usually after drinking.
Yeah, I had a couple of drinkies and then, you know, we were with the lovely Jack Manifold. He got us some wine.
Oh.
And I drank like a pint of wine.
I was literally about to say classy hell. Until you said that, like, and then you ruined
like
it.
It was like a half pint of wine.
That doesn't make it less classy. The word pint shouldn't go along with wine at all.
I know.
A pint of wine. That's just like,
I don't feel super bad. Like, you know, I have a like, little fuzz to my head, but. I'm all right.
A little bit furry. Didn't you go to bed? So you were streaming till 4 a.m. the night before that. And then you went out drinking last night. How are you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be functioning if I were you today. I would just be slug.
I would be slug.
Yeah.
Well, give it a few years, Ravs. Give it a few years.
I'm going to get some Japanese food after this. That will sort me out.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you go for when you're hungover?
Oh my God, you feel slightly like you're healthy.
Yeah, that's what I love that. Sometimes, you know, like, I mean? Yeah, I get that when I'm hungover and I'm like, health influencer, skinny queen, legend.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it just,
It's nice and salty and stuff as well. It's like banging.
I just want to eat a big fucking burger or something. I just want like the most filling.
Don't put thoughts of big, juicy burgers in my head, Harry.
It's got to be like, it can't be anything too light. Because usually if we've gone out drinking, I've probably barely eaten anything as well. So it's like, I just need to fill up. Do you know what I mean? Not mega filling.
I forgot to eat some din-dins last night, which is probably why I'm a little fuzzy today.
Such a difference. Like, we are so bad at eating dinner before we go out. Like, as a collective group of humans.
It's just effort. I want to get drinking.
I just want to go and just have a drink. The other night I went out and I was at home first. So I actually had some dinner and then came out. And it made such a difference the next day. I didn't feel nearly as shit as I usually do. It was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that does help, doesn't it? Actually lining your stomach. Who would have thunk it?
I know, it's crazy.
It is so nuts. Speaking of going out drinking, though, I want to talk about what happened last time we went out for a drink when we were talking about 0 Degrees.
I don't know. I don't remember this.
Harry, this was... Remember when we were having that not safe for work conversation and then the lovely, lovely fan came up to us?
Oh, fuck.
Yep.
So we were at the pub. We were discussing which has now been released, the podcast we did at the with Shaw. At the podcast show with Shaw, and how we were very graphically discussing pegging, which is kind of all we seem to ever talk about now.
Yeah, I don't know why I feel like it's ruling all of our lives now. I feel like there's this fucking spirit of pegging just haunting my fucking life.
Yep.
Looking, oh my God. Then that got onto the topic of, you know, the use of the words mummy and daddy in sexual sense during intercourse. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking very loudly, very proudly. And I believe I said something along the lines of, you know, it makes me feel really gross, the use of those words, like the idea of someone saying, come on, daddy's dick. And at that moment, at that very moment, looked up and there was this lovely man standing there and he said, hi, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. And it was like, oh God.
Yeah, and we just cackled. All three of us just cackled. Because the last thing Lydia said was that. And it was just like, oh my God.
So based. So fucking based, Lydia.
So to that person, Jesus. You were lovely. You were so sweet. We weren't laughing at you. We were laughing at what we were saying. The timing was just what?
I don't think they heard you.
No, I don't think they did. To them, we just burst out laughing for no reason. I was really worried. Which they thought we were laughing at them.
I recognized them from chat as well. They came into my chat and said it was so lovely to meet you guys the other night at the pub. It's AC Mon.
AC Mon, yeah. They were lovely. They were a lovely person.
They were really sweet. Really, really sweet.
Yeah, they're great.
But yeah, that did make me laugh. So.
Oh God, that was like such a scuffed moment. And they bought you guys some drinks as well. It was super lovely.
It was lovely.
They were really sweet, lovely person. So yeah. big shout out to them.
Such a scuffed day because like, but before that, I went to see the movie Sisu, and I can't remember if I told you guys this. I think I did, maybe at the pub, but certainly not on the podcast. I went with Duncan, our friend Paul, to see a movie Sisu. Very good. But I'd had some halloumi fries earlier in the day.
I
had rumblies in my tumblies before the movie, so I, you know, I was like, okay, I've relieved myself, I'm gonna go to the movie. I'm not gonna be too graphic here, surprisingly it's me. I'm heading to meet you guys at the pub, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go. So I went to the McDonald's, and like somehow this security guard knew that I
you
had
told
to
me
shit
this.
My brains out.
You didn't tell me this.
Okay, okay. Yeah, but the fact this happened on the same day as the fan interaction is crazy.
Okay.
Like, I went into the McDonald's. The man, like, spiritually knew I needed a shit. There was only a disabled toilet that they were just telling people to go to. So I was like, okay. And he's like, when you need to leave this room, hit the green button. I was like, fine.
What? Hit what green button?
There was like a little like green, it's like a handicap toilet. So there's like a green button lower down as a release for the door.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So he was like, hit this green button when you're done. I'm like, okay. So I do my business. It's horrible. It's like a fucking bombing happened.
It's like a terrorist attack. You created a terrorist attack in a McDonald's.
Exactly, yeah. Stand up, bend over to wipe, you know, as I do, hand on the wall. I'm a stand wiper.
Hand on your knees.
Disabled toilets are enormous. Did you have to waddle over to find the wall?
The wall that the toilet was against.
Imagining you going for a stroll to the other side to get some purchase.
So you're standing and turning?
Yeah.
Oh.
I always figured it was a stand and like find the wall.
What, you thought I'd stand and what? That would have been at the door.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you were basically on all fours, essentially,
The fact you're doing a pooey pirouette makes me feel weird.
I do a pooey pirouette and I can drop the bombs after I've wiped into the toilet bowl. You know,
oh
it's
my
easy.
God.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Why is so much of our podcast about Ravs's anal activities?
All we ever talk
someone opened the door, but thankfully it was just after I'd finished and pulled up my trousers. But if it was like 10 seconds earlier, they would have seen me spread eagle
wiping your ass.
And I thought my man's at the door was looking after the door because he also said push the green button to release. I was like, okay, like no way anyone's getting in here. That just fucking let a girl in.
Oh, and then that's when she turns around and says, hi, I'm a huge fan of the Yorkers cast.
That's a goober.
That's a goober.
And
right
you're there. Wiping your ass, spread eagled against
But yeah, thankfully, that wasn't a disaster, but it was just like a nightmare. And that's when I came and met you guys.
So she opened the door. Did you say something? Like, how open?
I was like, oh, sorry. I was like, quietly moved to wash my hands. Like, I'll be a little bit. It's just a disaster of a day, really, isn't it?
Can you imagine if something like that happened, though, and they were actually a Yorkshire Terrier fan and they walked in on you wiping your ass? Like, how do you get through that?
Oh, my God. How
do you move on with your life?
I think they have to subscribe. I think that's how it works. I think they have to subscribe.
You owe me money.
A Reddit post. I saw Ravs's pooey anus. Oh. Like, AMA.
Ask me anything.
I don't know what to say to that. I don't know what to say. I don't know words. I haven't got many words for this.
Like, I don't even know. I think I would just cease to be. Like, I would just be like, ah, and like disappear.
The thing is, mostly Yogscast fans are absolutely lovely and amazing. So I feel like they would just be, they'd let it slide. They wouldn't make the Reddit post. You know what I mean? I think they'd be pretty chill about it.
God, I hope so.
God, you'd hope so.
But this is why, Rav, standing up and displaying yourself like a fucking shitty peacock is such
crazy.
It's a scary maneuver. If you were sitting down and such wiping, you wouldn't have this. Yeah. You'd all be, you know, contained within the toilet.
I just like it.
Imagine if you didn't do your pooey pirouette. At least then you'd be facing, you know, maybe cock it out towards the door. But this way, you're literally displaying. It's like you're asking someone to walk in and stare up your ass.
It is a display of power.
It is like a weird, like, risk.
I just like the more surface area covered by doing my pooey pirouette.
Oh my, but I just feel like you're opening yourself up to so much risk. Evidence here.
Well, usually I'm doing it in the comfort of my own home, but this was a poo emergency.
I feel like, did you check the door when you shut it? Did you check that it was locked?
I checked. And like the dude just opened it from the other side.
Oh, that's terrible. I was once in a Starbucks just peeing, just to clarify here, and the woman that worked at the Starbucks just opened the door with the key and walked in, and it was like, excuse me.
Wait, what?
So like it was locked, I'd locked it, and she used her key to just open the door and come in whilst I was peeing.
Did she say anything?
Yeah, she was like, oh, sorry, I didn't realise anyone was in here. And I was
like, what the fuck, with a bit of it being locked?
It was like, what just happened? I thought I was safe. When you lock a door, you're safe.
This feels like something that there's like a Finnish or like Japanese word for that there's no translation for, but like the anxiety you get when you're sitting on the toilet and you feel someone like nudge the cubicle you're in the door, or like you hear a lock, like in that situation there, you hear the lock being tampered with. You're just like, oh my
God.
The
anxiety of no, don't come in, but I can't stand Freud. Up.
I have the Uber Schitzenfreud. No, nein, they're coming in for my poopy. The Uber Schitzenfreud.
Oh my God.
It makes me so nervous when I go defecate.
I feel like if you lock a door, you're at least safe. Like, you know,
right?
There shouldn't be the Uber Schitzenfreud because, you know, you're safe.
Also, what's the problem with America with a little gappy in there?
I won't lie, I struggle to poo in public in America. It's a crazy get up. It's a crazy get up.
Why is there a gap that people can see in?
But it's just like, wild. It's not only that, but the wall is low, and we're all tall. We can all see over.
When Harry sits down, his head is above the thing. He's looking out at people.
I'm surveying.
Oh God.
Just head surveying above, just looking at everyone.
Oh my God, imagine they just made the door shorter at the top so you could just like, while sitting down, you just saw.
But also they have gaps, right? Between the hinges and the door, there was a gap. Like a lot of the American toilets I've been in are just not, they're not safe places.
Maybe they're trying to discourage people from pooping in public.
Insane.
They're like, go do this
Uber
at home.
And Freud.
They do not have the Uber Schitzenfreud in America.
I saw this post and it was very relatable. And it's like, I'm now the age of whatever, and I still don't know what to say when someone like knocks on the door of the toilet or like comes to come in. Like, what do you say? Occupado! You know, like,
I have Uber Schitzenfreud, please leave.
Like, what do you say? You know, like, hello, like what is the response?
I guess just like occupied,
like I don't know what to say. God. I think my
Britishness would just be like, sorry mate.
Oh yeah, sorry. Mate. Oh sorry.
Also they should be the one who's apologizing. Why are you knocking on a locked door? Unless someone's been in there for an extortionate amount of time, you know, we're talking like half an hour, like so long. There's no reason to be knocking on fucking locked doors.
No, it's true. Although sometimes they're just trying the door, right? Because you can't tell if it's locked or not. So you're like just giving it a little nudge.
I don't live that type of lifestyle. If it looks locked, I ain't trying. If it looks
really,
locked,
even
I'm
if you're
passing.
Desperate for a wee, you wouldn't. I guess it's difficult, different because you got
as a man, Lydia. Let me explain to you the magical wonders of the world being your toilet.
You can pee. The world is your toilet. I would try. So there's a toilet that at a pub that we frequent, and it doesn't look properly. And I've now developed a technique, because every time someone comes in, I either start coughing like so they know someone's in there, or I start frantically getting loo roll, which, you know, makes, it makes a really loud noise.
Just laying fucking landmines. Sorry, really fucking really shitting my guts over here. Sorry.
God, I do hate that when it doesn't lock properly. Yeah. You just have to like sit there with your hand outstretched or your legs or something.
Your arm like sort of just pushed forward.
Just having like the most uncomfortable shit in your life.
That is a moment of uber Schitzenfreud. Yeah. That is a true moment of uber Schitzenfreud. You're just like, fuck.
You're trying to make enough ambient noise so someone knows that you're in there, but without... Like, so it's like clearing your throat and like moving the tissue paper thing around and coughing.
You know what? There should be a go-to thing, like a YouTube video or a song that you can play that identifies. It's just like, this is the, you know, everyone in society agrees this is what you play on your phone when you're in an occupied toilet. That's it. We just solved the problem done.
It's the poo song.
It's the poo song.
Well, you could be onto a big moneymaker, Harry, because if that blows up and you become the next Gangnam Style and you get billions and billions of views on YouTube, you can be really rich.
Just something, I think it would just be something like this, just like an alert sound plays and then my voice going, I'm pooing. There is a person pooing in here. I'm pooing. Like that. And
see, I feel
that,
like
done.
A lot of...
That removes all awkwardness.
No, I don't. I think that creates a lot of awkwardness. I think a lot of women might not want to play that whilst they're on the toilet.
There's a man in here pooing. I'm pooing.
My name is Harry.
That would happen in nightclubs, though, and the bouncers would be like, is he pooing or is he doing coke?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not doing drugs. I'm pooing.
I'm pooing. Sniff.
This sniff is added to the pre-recorded song, so you can't tell if we are doing drugs.
Oh my god. What is
with like our Britishness though, where we feel like we have to say sorry when someone else has done something?
I hate that.
Why
do we have like this urge to apologize even when it's someone else's fault?
Like someone will bash into me on the street and I'll be like, sorry.
Yeah, no,
like,
sorry mate.
Sorry.
Yeah, same.
Like, what's wrong? Why can't we be like, I don't know. Why do we have the instinct? Why do we have the instinct to apologize for everything?
Because we don't want confrontation. British people don't like confrontation. We don't want arguments. We don't want to just deal with any of that. We just want to end it and leave.
So
just saying sorry means you can just leave and there's no awkwardness. You just get to fucking dip.
Yeah.
All right. Well, from now on, I'm going to start calling people a cunt. Even if it's my fault.
I've got Uber Schitzenfreud.
You can't.
Are we going to have to call this episode Uber Schitzenfreud?
Yeah, good luck to Sam trying to figure out how to spell that.
Oh, I know. It's S-C-H-I-T-Z-E-N. Then I don't know the Freud part.
Freud. F-R-E-U-D,
is that it?
The Uber Schitzenfreud episode. It's my favourite one of 0 Degrees.
Yes. It is a good one.
Should we do a fucking question?
Yeah, on that note, let's do a question.
Yeah, it's question time.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hi, 0 Degrees gang. Since moving to uni, I've gained many experiences with definitely totally legal substances, as my housemates all partake. However, I do not, and I often feel left out. They don't peer pressure me, and I'm not interested, but they all seem to have a good time, and sometimes it makes me feel bad that I'm not joining in. I do the same with booze, as I have a tolerance of an ox, but don't want to spend tons of cash to get as buzzed as my mates can off one drink. Any advice? Have any of you ever felt this way or been on the other end of it? Watching a friend not get involved. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. What do you guys think? Have you guys had this experience?
Is this the fucking feds? Are they sent a question
in? Have you ever partaken in a sniff?
Are they trying to get us to admit about our legal substances we take? What the fuck is this question?
Now, think strongly. Does anyone want a political career in the future?
I think I'm okay.
I think this podcast alone so far is enough for me to not have a political career.
The first 15 minutes of just this episode has certainly ruined Ravs' chances.
Okay.
I can already hear Trump owning me like while I'm... as if I'm like a little poopy Ravs.
And he does the poo-poo-it. He does it. He spins
with his hands. He does a little gesture.
He spins.
And he wipes. He wipes his own lung. The longest wiper.
The longest wipes.
Fucking hell. Oh, my God. All right.
We have to move past this moment.
Yeah, we have to move past this moment. Okay, so they live in a house with their housemates. The housemates do certain substances. They do not partake. They feel left out. Same with booze. Right. Do you guys have any experience with this? I'm going to defer to start with.
I too shall defer to Harry.
I feel like I can quite happily say that trying a little bit of everything once, I found was an okay way to go. But I found that I mostly don't like the illegal drugs. So I feel like I feel like I empathize a lot with them. Like, it does suck when all your mates, growing up, all my mates would be doing God knows what. And trying to keep up or like get as buzzed when you're drinking is fucking impossible. Like, it is, it kind of sucks. You do feel like you're left out and it makes you want to like, you know, do the drugs. So yeah, it is shit. I feel like I certainly did just cope by getting really fucked up, which is also kind of fun. But
this person says they don't do it with booze though, because they have a super high tolerance.
Yeah, I would say don't. Yeah, this doesn't sound like a great reason to do drugs. I'm gonna go ahead and say I don't feel like we can advocate to do drugs.
I don't think we're allowed.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think the yogs will cut us off.
I don't feel like we've really talked about drugs on this podcast. It's not really a big thing in any of our lives. Apart from booze, which is a drug.
Booze is a drug.
Illegal drugs we haven't talked about.
Yeah, illicit drugs.
Illicit drugs we haven't spoken about. We can, to be honest. I don't think we're allowed to.
I think it's just really important to do it safely. Do it with friends that you trust if you're going to do it, right? Yeah. If you're going to do drugs, you got to do it super fucking securely and don't be stupid. I feel like a lot of kids are really dumb with it and run a load of risk.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for them? Like, I guess just, you know what you like, stick to the way you're doing it right now, really. Like, if it's going to cost you a shit ton to get drunk, like, that's just kind of shit, isn't it? Unless you're out with some like big drinkers and you fancy a drink, go for it. But like, you know what I mean? If your mates are just like buzzed off of one drink and you don't want to spend like 30 quid getting wankered, just don't do it.
Is it also just like this weird passing moment and passing age? Do you know what I mean? Where like they're at uni, you're just getting mega fucked up for like your first 2 years. That's just how it is. It's what most people go and do, right? So is this just not like a thing that will pass and then just, I kind of feel like buckle in and make do. And it will be fine in the long run. Like they're not going to be complete wreckheds forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Hopefully they're not just like, you know, forever stuck doing that. Cause I had that in Scotland. I had a bunch of mates that just loved getting fucked up. And I was like, I need to get away from this.
Yeah.
Like, I hate this. It's fucking shit.
I definitely had the exact same situation this person's describing when I was in my sort of early 20s, where I didn't want to do drugs, and the person that I was with and his group of friends all did a lot of drugs. And every time we went out, I would just get really drunk and they would all get really fucked up. And I definitely felt that kind of that thing where you're like, am I missing out on something here? I'm not getting the in joke. Like, and again, a little feeling of like, I'm not cool because they're all doing it, which sounds dumb, but it was like putting that sort of own peer pressure on myself. They never put that on me. So I definitely do like sympathize with that feeling. But again, like Ravs and Harry just said, I do feel like that happens at a certain age. And as you get older, those, that type of behavior and those type of friends, that whole scene does fizzle out. Like, it's not a forever thing. And if it is a forever thing, then I would get new friends, because you know, yeah, you're getting fucked up for the rest of your life.
That's a really crucial bit. If that shit
everything
going
in
away,
moderation, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if they're doing it like every day, like, fuck that shit, man. Like, I would find a different group of friends, honestly. Like, yeah, just, that's just too much.
I would stay stick with it. I also think, weirdly, a lot of the time that I feel like I went out with my mates that were getting completely fucking brain dead, I kind of felt responsibility, do you know what I mean, to be there and not be too fucked, and almost like the designated driver of like the one person whose brain is not mush.
Yeah.
Just to keep an eye on them. But I mean, equally, you know, they're then going to like 7 a.m. and I'm just like, I gotta stay awake.
Yeah, I'm fucking knackered.
But there is, I mean, there is that ownership of, if you are really good friends, then do try and take care of them as well, if they're being silly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I feel like if it's moving to uni and you do feel left out, is there a way of trying to make some mates who aren't just into getting fucked up? Like, if they're like societies or stuff you could get involved with, meet some new people maybe. I know that sounds like maybe just like easier said than done, but there will be people that aren't just into doing loads of drugs and shit that, yeah, you know.
I guess these people are at uni though, and this is like their time where they're trying stuff and stuff, you know. Like, like Harry said, you know, try everything once. I've tried a bunch of stuff. I know what I liked and didn't like, and I just like drinking now. It's just my jam.
Yeah, but this wasn't just because they don't want to. Yeah. They just don't want to do it. They feel bad that they're not joining in. So I was thinking maybe it might be worth branching out to try and find some other people that also just aren't into it. Because if these friends are really into it, they're probably not going to stop anytime soon.
It will probably. I'm just thinking of like friendship groups that I've known at uni. They've gone to uni and I just feel like that's shit just lasts the entire time that they're at uni. Maybe if they care for their final year, they will chill out. But otherwise, I feel like that's just going to be, that's going to be the duration.
If you just don't want to try it, don't. If you do, that's up to you. But like, you know, I don't know. Which is a weird one, isn't it? Drugs.
Drugs. I would say try
them?
And
do you not? Probably not.
Drink winners don't do drugs. Yeah. I would say just try and see if you can meet some other people, different societies, different clubs. When I was at university, I went to the Japanese anime club and I did stuff like that, and I met new people that had the same interests in me.
See, the Japanese anime club, you're going to go there and do meth.
I went
shit.
There and I did heroin, meth, and poppers. So that was interesting. But like, there are different, you know, there will be nice people that you can meet who aren't just into doing drugs, basically. And it sounds like that's kind of that's what you need for your uni experience, not just to be surrounded by people doing drugs all the time. Not saying you shouldn't be friends with your uni mate, your housemates, just, you know, yes, obviously if they're doing that a lot and that's not what you're into, then that kind of sucks.
I think it's really important, as they're also your housemates, that you need to like rationalize it in a way that you won't become frustrated and
exactly
and like, you know, just have disdain for them around this subject matter. I mean, so you need to like, you got to figure it out in terms of like finding some new friends that you can help power out with a bit and hang out with your old friends. And it's a classic thing, like maybe saying something to them, but also just having those kind of open conversations, even at like 19, 18 is weird. Being like, hey guys, can we do a night where you don't all do fucking drugs and we go get pissed instead? Like, or whatever. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just be upfront about it, right?
Yeah.
Also, where the fuck are they getting all their money from? If they're getting fucked up all the time, drugs are expensive.
Yeah, true.
Usually, in my experience of uni kids, it's not eating.
The
first thing that gets chopped off.
That's what your loan just goes
off. 11p noodles as the smart price.
Yeah.
I guess like on the other end of it, you know, back when I like tried some stuff when I was younger, like it was nice actually having a friend there who wasn't doing shit. So I was like, I will be safe. This is safe to do.
They will keep me safe.
Yeah, I think it is important to have that, you know, designated, not brain mushed person.
Yeah, absolutely. In case any weird drug shit starts happening.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, good luck. I hope it goes well.
And if you are struggling with drugs, do reach out and get some help, please.
True. Very true.
I mean, yes, that's true. Sorry.
Dr. Just, Frank.
You're just laughing.
Lol. No, I was just right. Lol, losers.
Can't handle their drugs.
Nerds.
No.
I'm just laughing because Rabs is an idiot. All right. Okay. All right. Next question. Hello, I'm a contractor at a massive laboratory. Laboratory.
Laboratory.
Just this entire podcast is just poop now.
It's just
toilet.
All about poop.
All entrances require key cards to open the door. What is the protocol for holding the door for the person behind me? Should they have to unlock the door themselves? That would require me slowly closing the door on their face. Alternatively, if I hold open the door for them, what if I let a thief into the building? Thanks for all the laughs. You guys are always a delight to listen to. So I've often thought about this because we also work in an office which has, you know, you need a key card to get into. And what are you meant to do if someone is very close behind you and you've opened the door to let yourself in? Are you going to what, like slowly slam it in their face just in case they're a complete stranger? But, or are you just going to let them in, but they could be a complete stranger?
Oh,
so I encounter this problem maybe like once a month. Like, I feel like I certainly look up and down. Like, firstly, I recognize a lot of people who work in our building who aren't at our company now from being here for so long. So yeah. I know who's kind of safe to let the door open. But I am conscious of it. Like Lydia, I'm like you. I am always thinking about, should I keep the door open for this person? Are they? But it's certainly like, is it a young like 20-year-old man? If so, I'm like, this doesn't this doesn't add up. This could be a young not trying to get in.
Right.
And then as soon as like they walk, like, because very few people in our building go get the lift upside of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I just feel like at any moment I'm like vaguely sus. I'm like, oh, who are you here to see? And just that instantly, like quells it. Because most people will have that answer like off the top of their dome instantly. Oh, I'm here to go see someone at this company or whatever. But most people, I think, you know, you can't answer that if they're just trying to sneak in or whatever. And if they say Lewis, I'm just like, oh, okay, who are you then?
Who are you?
Yeah. Like, for me, it's like, our office, you know, we have the double this with double locks, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So there's
the
downstairs, but you still don't, like, if you're going up to the office, you better know the code or
it's very better. Let me just say, it's very hard to get into our office.
Yeah, it's very hard.
This is not a challenge, and you should not try.
And you should never
ever try.
No.
But to me, it's just like, yeah, if I see someone like walking with intent and I've opened the door, like, I'll hold like for a minute just to let them in, but like, I would never do it upstairs. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Never. I'd be like, you fucking get in on your own. I'm not slamming the door on anyone, but like.
It is interesting. You're walking with a tent is interesting though, right? Like, that does change it. Suddenly you're just like, oh yeah. If someone walks really with authority and intent, you're like, oh, of course I should help them through the door.
Yeah. Like, this person clearly works in this building also. So, like, cool. Or he's like a postman. I'm like, cool.
I feel like at this point, we're just giving tips on how to break into buildings now. Just make sure you walk with intent and purpose.
Where a hive is, bring a parcel.
But with the upstairs thing, with the letting people into the actual office, I have the problem that every time I go into the office, there's new people working there that I don't know because, you know, we have fourth floor.
Yeah,
so is it not really rude if I'm just kind of like, I'm shutting the door on you because I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know who fucking 90% of the people are.
Trick there is delay you going into the door, look at your phone or something, let them do the code.
Yeah.
Because then if they're like, oh, who are you? You get to massively ego check them.
Massively. I own the Yogscast.
Sorry, I'm Mrs. Yogscast.
Do you have any fucking idea who I am?
Points at picture wall. That's me.
Well, once.
Follow me. And you just point at them.
A few months ago, someone, I didn't have my fob and I did the buzzer thing and someone said, who's it? I said, it's Lydia. And they went, okay. And they buzzed me in. And then I went upstairs and they just kind of opened the door for me and they looked really confused. And I was like, hi, and walked through. And then I heard them run up to someone and say, I don't know who that is. And then Sarah ran around the corner and she was like, oh, it's Lydia. It's fine. So this person had just let me in. But because I'd been so like you said, so just like, hello, it's Lydia. I'm, you know, I'm here for this kind of thing. They just let me in. I don't think they work there anymore, actually. And then they were, and then they just were like,
wow,
I have no
you
idea
got
who this
them fired? Is that what you're implying?
No,
wow.
No, no.
Are you implying you got them fucking fired?
No, I did not.
Like I said, don't ego check Lydia. Mrs. Youngcast will fucking come down on you like a ton of bricks.
No, they were only there for a few months. They had like a work placement.
Yeah, you insured that.
And make sure they were gone. But it just, it made me laugh because that's the kind of shit I would do. I would just kind of be like, oh yeah, come in. And then be like, I don't know who that is.
It's so weird having like, you know, just like another company in the building where I just don't know like half of the employees. Like I know quite a few of them and I know a few of them enough to be like, ah, hiya, or head nod them.
The nod.
Even though I don't remember what your name is, but nod.
Nod?
You know
nod,
what I mean?
Hi. Like, okay,
I quite like it. See, I guess I do know more of them than you two. But I quite like it because it feels like, there's always like a busyness, right, in the office of just like NPCs. You know, it's like when you walk into like a town in Skyrim and you have like the main characters. This is fucked up. But you have like, we're like the main characters who have like quest lines.
Harry,
I have this exact same thought.
Oh my God, you two have such main character syndrome energy. Jesus.
I genuinely am like, I have quests in this office,
but it's nice
and
you're
the NPCs
it's nice
who are
they're
here.
There to fill it out, you know, otherwise it'd be a boring office environment.
Oh my God.
No, I have this exact same
Look,
thing
it's
in
brutal.
The office.
It's fucked up. I
it's
think they're lovely
brutal.
People. I'm friends
You're
with some.
Sociopaths. They're
lovely.
You're
also,
psychopaths.
Lots of them mean nothing to my life, Lydia. I don't care.
I'm going to send this to all of them. Sorry, great. For you.
They can probably fucking hear this as well. I'm recording in the office.
You're just recording your desk
I'm
surrounded
leave,
by
I'm
them.
Just leave this recording. Just do a million like staring wall floors. What's this man doing?
You know what I hate though? When we had snackies in the office, and I think they're the reason snackies are gone.
Oh
is because
my God,
they would
yeah.
eat all the snackies like ravenous dogs. They would like, you'd be like, oh my God, amazing. There's like popcorn in. Daff is putting popcorn in. And then the next day I come in, it's empty. I'm like, what the fuck?
We used to, Yuxcos used to be a wonderland. It used to be Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. You'd come in and there'd be different types of crisps and chocolate bars and breakfast bars and amazing, as far as I could see. Now, not a crumb in sight.
We do get drinkies, so I'm not going to complain too hard. Because
I do like
drinkies.
We can never lose the drinks. I would leave the company.
Me too. I'd be out.
That's my line.
I love the drinkies.
It's fine. We should just know that's my line. They'd never cross it.
They'd never dare touch the drinkies. We used to have two fridges filled with drinkies.
Yeah, we are down to one fridge, but it's very actively stocked.
So yeah,
one full fridge than two fridges that are sad.
Yeah. No, it's
exactly.
A beautiful fridge.
Which we value highly and is
we
a
value
massive,
it.
And if anyone were to take it, we would be very angry.
We would
say very angry. This podcast would never hit the end of it.
We'd turn into a complaint podcast. Yeah. We do get snacky days every now and then though, which is pretty sick. But also like you go to get it's like, oh, pizza day at the office, and you're like, somehow you're in the office that day, amazing. And then like a million people from 4-4 just
locusts
descend, destroy
the NPCs,
destroy all the pizzas.
And I'm just looking for quest lines, and I'm like, where are the quests?
Oh my God, this question has just turned into slagging off 4-4 now.
No,
we love you, 4-4.
We love you.
There's a lot of great people at 4-4.
No, they're awesome. People.
We're big fans. It's just funny having a little kind of, you know, it's a brotherly sisterly relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's just how it is. They live in our office and, you know, we hate them. That's how it is.
Just like brothers and sisters.
It's just like brothers and sisters.
Oh, so also circling back, I had one more question about this opening the door thing, right? Okay, taking this away from the work environment and just taking this to a general, you're opening a door and there's someone behind you. How far back is the person, do they have to be, before you stop opening it for them? Because I have that thing where I'll look behind me and there'll be someone who's like, I don't know, 15 paces behind or whatever. And I'm like, oh shit, I've made eye contact. And now I've got to stand here. And then they're like, oh fuck, they're opening the door for me, but I'm kind of far away. So they're doing that awkward like run, walk thing. Uh-huh. And I'm standing there like, oh, this is taking forever. I should have just let it close. And they're awkward and I'm awkward. And I fucking hate that situation so much.
So I'm a big I'll go up to like maybe like 20 meters, Lids. I'll go pretty
Holy
far.
Shit. That's
because,
far.
Yeah.
Because I love making people do that awkward little
that
jog.
That awkward run walk.
Like, it's that's. Because if they don't do the awkward run walk, I'm just going to fucking close the door and go in. I don't
care. Yeah, what if they just absolutely just carried on walking at a slow pace and looked you dead in the eye?
Because that's what I do. I'm not doing the awkward run walk. I will just continue walking at my pace. If you make that decision to be so kind as to keep the door open for me, that's a kindness on you, not on me. I'm not doing a run walk to, you know, speed up your day. But I do want to make people do the run walk. It feels like you get one over on people when they do it. You're
right. Like, hey, hey, hey. So it's like a mind game thing.
I got
for
them.
You got them to do the run walk.
I got them to do the run walk. It's so silly when they do.
Oh my God.
I hold the door open for ages. Like, I'll just hold it.
Rams is just like, Rams is always late to the podcast. He's just downstairs holding
downstairs
the door open.
Holding the door open for someone that's like six
Honestly,
miles away.
In another life, I was a doorman. Like, just legit. Because, if I see someone, like, someone could be like, over in Queen Square, and I see them coming. I will
Rams
wait.
Just shouting out, "Sorry, mate, are you going to come in?" Sorry.
Yeah,
if
I see them coming and I know them, I'll hold the door. Oh, like, fucking for ages.
You would actually make a great doorman. I'm imagining it now, wearing the little like bellhop suit thing, like
top hat.
Good evening, m'lady. It's like 1940.
I'd like to be one of those like Undertaker type ones, you know, with a big long tailcoat
and
stuff. Oh, I'd love that.
Like a fancy hotel in London or something like that.
There's something nice about holding the door open for people. I like it.
Oh my God. Well, if all this all goes to shit,
welcome
then you've
to the
got
establishment.
Welcome to the Young Guys offices.
I stand up and I do a poo pirouette before I wipe. Yes.
That is why I wear the tailcoat, you see.
It's an easier lifting and spreading of the cheeks.
Oh, God.
And welcome to my pooey asshole.
Welcome to my pooey emporium.
Well, there you go, Raz. You've always got a backup career when this inevitably goes to shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beg Rich to let me be the doorman.
Have we answered this question?
I guess we have.
I think we have, yeah.
I think
what
we
if
just
I
send
leaf into the building.
Swiftly on.
I mean, honestly.
If they walk with purpose, then let him in, essentially, is what he said.
Yeah.
Is it there your fault? Like, really?
Okay, what if you let a thief in? Let's entertain that. So,
oh my God,
what
that would be awful.
You've let someone awkward run, Harry. They've come in, they're a thief. All right.
Because you know what happened?
Is that your fault?
They'd get you all to sit around. Because remember when we had that person smash the thing in? We all watched the CCTV. They'd get us all into a meeting and it would be fucking me opening the door being like, come on in. And it'd be like, wait. And it'd have the red circle around my face and it would be all my fault.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like, you know? Daily Mail, you know.
Daily
Squid
Mail is dumbass.
Game.
Let a thief in. Like, what if that happens?
Yeah,
is
that's pretty bad. No, that's not your fault.
I think it's your fault, though. There's like a social... There's like an assumed social...
Etiquette.
What's the word I'm looking for? Etiquette, yeah, that's like, you know, like you see someone doing a little awkward run, you're like, all right, I'll hold the door open for them. Or like you see them coming, they're walking with intent, you're like, all right, they must be coming into this building. They must like work at another thing here. Like, but if they turn out to be a thief, I don't think it's your fault.
I feel like it's one of those classic things, right? Just because there's that one in a million chance that someone's going to be a bad person, we don't just like now all be cunts to each other.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd rather just live in the world where one in a million times we get robbed rather than everyone just like purposely shut the door after every time I go in the door, no one's ever following me through, like, it's mental.
God. If you let a murderer in, though, that would like feel so bad.
Oh, fuck, yeah, that's true. I take that all back.
Yeah.
Imagine you were the person that let a psycho murderer in and went and absolutely... Yeah.
I mean, is our door stopping a psycho murder? Is a psycho murder really... They're like, oh, the door...
I was going to go into the office and kill everyone,
The door's now closed. Okay,
this key card lock has foiled my plans.
Yeah, how are they going to get through?
I feel like they're just
because they're a psycho murderer doesn't mean they know how to fucking pick locks. Like, how are they going to get through?
Just smash your window. What?
What window? Yeah. We're on the fourth bloody floor.
What do you mean? Wait, which door are we talking about?
I'm talking about
downstairs
and then upstairs.
Okay. Well, you can't smash a window to get in there.
Well, you smash a window to get in downstairs.
Okay, well, what about upstairs?
You kick the door down.
They'd have to kick the door down.
Oh, I reckon that'd be hard.
That's a beefy
fucking door.
I ain't got the legs for that.
You know
my knee would crumble.
Do you know what? I literally was talking to Ben about this.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was, but Ben, maybe it was like one of his relatives' houses or something. He'd lost his key a couple of weekends ago, and he was like, fuck it. It was like, you know, 1 in the morning. And he's just like, fuck it. And he just kicked the door down. And he said it was surprisingly easy.
Wait, Ben really kicked his door down?
I don't think it was his door. I think it was like a relative's door they were staying at.
Oh, right. Holy shit.
But fucking Ben kicked the door
Ben
down?
Ben kicked it down.
Just, what the fuck?
Just think about that.
Ben?
Chad?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I feel like it's easier than, I mean, that's not saying Ben is weak, but I feel like he was like, it's,
I mean, fucking, we all just went, Ben?
I think it took him like three or four kicks and it was done. The lock's
maybe
there.
Ben's got like a sleeper belt. Maybe he takes off his little like shirt or his little overcoat and like he's just got like a ripped Grecian god's body.
Yeah, okay.
And he's just chatted.
He's absolutely chatted to fuck.
But I don't know. I feel like kicking down a door, it's changed my mind. I feel like I used to think it was an impossible task and now it might just be completely feasible.
Our office door's like a big beefy
door. But that's
window,
a big
you know,
beefy
like,
door.
It also like bolt locks, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so it's
not
pretty.
It's not like a house door. It's like a much more sexy
I reckon
door.
After hearing that, mate, I just think I could kick any door down.
I don't know if you could, Harry. I think we're going to have to put it to the test.
0 degrees live, Harry versus doors.
Just see if you can knock it in. Yeah, all right.
That'd
deal.
Be great. Well, if anyone wants to send us a door, you can send me a door and we'll set it up in the office and I'll kick it down.
We do a little challenge video, door kicking.
Door kicking.
I feel like this is going to be really bad. Like me and Lydia will go kick the door, both of our knees will crumble to
good,
dust.
It's good, yeah. The podcast with the hosts renowned for their strong legs. We've got Twig Boy and then just the two fucked knee people. That's good.
Yeah, my left knee is bad.
It's great. No, this is the perfect challenge actually for us. It's the perfect physical challenge.
Yeah, I kind of want to know now. I kind of want to try, obviously with my good leg, try bashing a door in.
He's going to go finish the podcast. Yeah, says it just kicked down her door.
To do a good kick with your good leg though, you have to like put all your weight onto your bad leg.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
You know, like push forward with your
but
leg
I reckon you could probably just shoulder barge the door in. Doesn't have to be kicking.
Probably.
Right?
Do you think so? I don't think I'm strong enough. I'm very weak.
No, you're
maybe
not.
There's a place you can go try this.
Yeah, is there like you can go to those
I guess
rage
being
rooms?
Q, like, yeah. It's not really, it's not, I don't know if it's ethical. I don't know if it's ethical.
Being Q, like, oh, I'd love to see, like, some dollies.
Yeah, guys, I help you. Sorry, mate, can you hold this door up while I just try and, and then start.
Shoulder bashing into it. Oh, my God.
Mate, what the fuck are you doing? You can't shoulder bash the door. Couple more tries.
Oh, that's how we get banned for life. Okay, sweet. Yeah. 0 degrees trip to B&Q. Let's do it.
I love it. I'm still holding you guys to this archery thing. I want to do the 0 degrees archery trip.
I want to do a rage room with you guys.
A rage room would be sick as well.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we get some more patrons. If people support the Patreon, maybe we put some of that money aside and go do some silly things.
Oh, little patron-funded silliness.
Speaking of patrons, really that's a nice little segue. Don't you agree? So going not from today but going forward from next week, we're going to be recording special Patreon snippets which will be extra questions. We'll be doing Am I the Arseholes. We'll just be chatting about the episodes from next week on. We'll be recording those and it will be a weekly segment you'll get as a Patreon subscriber.
We feel a little guilty. We've been doing Patreon for a while, but like we aren't really delivering much, so we, you know, except from like exclusive questions right now, so we'd like to give you a little extra back.
So from now from next week we love you guys, so from next week we're going to start recording them and you'll be getting your own special little episode. So do make sure to send in questions that you might want to get answered on them, or am I the arsehole situations or anything like that. Feel free to send in to us.
I kind of want to go on some of the Reddit am I the arsehole ones.
We will we'll do some of those as well.
And you know, like Harry just said as well, you know, if we get some more funding, maybe we could do wacky fun little trips and stuff.
Buy me a door.
Buy Harry a door.
Buy me a door. Barry's door fund.
Barry's door fund.
Brilliant. Should we call it there for this week then?
Let's call it a day.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Two questions done. That's a good.
We chatted about your poo for 15 minutes. I mean,
we did chat about my poo for a bit.
Every fucking time. We didn't talk about pegging though, so that's, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's end the episode right now before that happens. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, our wonderful patrons. Thank you for the reviews and the comments and stuff. We've been reading them. Very lovely. Lovely interactions. Love to hear from the fans. I guess we'll catch you all next week then. See you later.
See you next week.
Tell your mum to listen. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.